Good morning once again, everyone. The time is 9:06, temperature up to 62 degrees under fair skies in downtown Wausau. I am Chad Holmes. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 WXCO, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up at 9:20, we're going to talk about Stoneline Valley Music Fest. It's a brand new music festival up north. We'll talk about that coming up at 9:20 with a couple of guests. At 9:34, joining me here in studio will be the executive director of the Good News Project, Christine Daniels. We'll talk about what she has been up to, and the Good News Project is up to as well. So that's at 9:34. But we've kept Tony Gonzalez around. But first, I do have to again say good morning to my institute. If I don't say good morning to Ian, then he won't turn my microphone on. And so I got to make sure we keep Ian happy. But Ian Welsh is our in-studio engineer. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Chad.
And of course, later on in the program, we will have our number for the day as part of our daily history lesson. We always wrap up the program with our number of the day quiz with Ian Welsh. He is 0-for-2 so far this week.
Yeah, so get back on the bandwagon.
Before we go any further, do you want to have that hint? Because I always give you a hint on what the topic will be for our number for the day. Do you want to have that hint?
Yes, I would appreciate a hint, please.
All right. It involves airplanes.
Airplanes.
So you think about that. You stew on that a little bit.
Okay.
Because today is big. You can't go 0-for-3. Then you'll be back against the wall. That won't be good. So we'll get back to you a little bit later on. You just think about those airplanes, and we'll talk to you a little bit later on.
No problem, Jed.
That's Ian Welsh again, our in-studio engineer with me every morning here on the program. And again, across the way from Tony Gonzalez. And let's talk again, because when you come in, we've been talking about some of these issues you've been putting a lot of legwork on. What is the issue that right now is the one that you feel like you're as close as you've been, that you feel like you're getting pretty darn close and be able to get something done significantly?
Well, after the work we did this last session regarding some bills that would work with DACA recipients, and again, they are not immigration bills because they're state, and state has nothing to do with immigration, but DACA recipients do live in our state. And are part of a workforce. They got a...
Can you please explain? Because I don't want to assume people are up to speed on DACA. What is DACA for those folks that may be saying, oh, I kind of know, but I'm not totally sure?
No, very important and you know, a great question, and actually have had a chance to answer it many more times. The mayor had a forum last week with the neighbors there, and somebody had a question about that.
Yep.
And it's a great opportunity to break down what I call that immigration package, where some people want to put everybody in one single bundle, and it's not so. There's many different levels, and if we're going to solve it, we got to solve it in layers, because it's not going to happen with a massive number. It's just not going to happen. So DACA recipients are the kids that were brought to the country by their parents when they came to the United States without getting checked at the border. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So these kids, they have to meet a certain criteria. It's a finite number. This is not a program that is ongoing. You had to be in the country by 2007 and all the way through 2012. You couldn't be over the age of 31 by June 15, 2012. And the qualifications for them to be, so it's a program, so they are not priority to be deported. The reason, of course, because they were children, they didn't even commit a crime. Like my example is, if I put my daughter in the car, my 8-year-old daughter, and go to Lincoln County, she has no choice but to make it to Lincoln County.
Right.
Same thing with these children. And for them to qualify, they had to sign up. They had to complete high school or the equivalent. They have to maintain work. They have to get a license. They cannot benefit themselves from state or federal funds. And they're just awaiting for the Supreme Court decision here next year, whether their status is going to stay and the promise of a country to them after they've done their part remains. So So the bills that we worked on, you know, it was four of them. One that would allow DACAs to join law enforcement. It was supported by a good number of police agencies in the state and the reasoning behind it. The other one was to allow DACA recipients to receive in-state tuition because of the we can have a DACA recipient here in Wisconsin that goes to the University of Minnesota and get in-state tuition with them, but they can't get it on their own state. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And again, remember, these are people that have a driver's license, a social security. They're just, it's pending. The other one was a tax break for the $500 that they pay every year. And the most important that we should start with was allowing DACA recipients to get a professional licenses to the DSPS so they can work as childcare workers, as teachers, and stuff like that. And we got very close. We had a lot. It was a bipartisan bill. We had Senator Jesse James in it. We had Representative Sylvia Ortiz from Milwaukee. Many ready to do it. But we were short, but we got as close as we have. In 17 years, that's the most votes we have had on the party that had control right now, which is the Republican mm-hmm. Party. On the Republican caucus, we had 14 of 22 senators that were supporting us the whole time. Many of this bill, 60 of the 66 Republicans also supported. So we're close, and that had to do with a lot of conversations and breaking it down. I cannot tackle every single issue. We're going to have to go one by one and see how it gets better. So to your question, what is the main thing? That is one of the main things with DACAs, and that would give us, I think, a gateway for a little bit of more understanding of the people that, yeah, are here in the country without a status, but whose labor we favor and we use every single day. Mm-hmm. People that complain so much, then get ready to pay $25 a gallon of milk if that's what you want. But if you're going to be reasonable, people that have been in our communities, that are your neighbor, that you know them, that if you see them eye to eye, you're not going to say the things that you would say when you're around people that don't support them, because you know they're human beings and they're good. So I think my next goal and the work that I really want to do is for a driver's permit, and we are even changing the narrative, understanding the concerns of both sides. The word license implicates, you know, for many people, oh, license, and when you go to the voting booth, they're going to say a license, so if you got a license, all these illegals are going to vote. No, so we're not even going to call it a license, we'll call it a permit. We'll have plenty of safeguards around it so it doesn't even look like a license, and go from there.
Let me ask you about a story that you had told me when you came in and sat down about a sign that you saw, and I could see in the way you told it, it kind of vitally important. Can you tell the folks out there what you told me?
I'll tell you, and this is because we have to destroy narratives that are false, and we have to work on things the way they are. So on another show, somebody came on as a guest and mentioned that at the DMV, there were posters that said, if you don't have a birth certificate and you want to vote, give us a call. We'll get you a voting card. And, you know, this is uproar. You know, oh, my God, where? Right here at Rip Mountain and everywhere. So the implication that they were trying to say is anybody goes in there without a birth certificate, and obviously illegals are the ones that don't have a birth certificate. That's the way they play it. You can go in there and get a card. Well, yeah, the sign was there, but they failed to mention on the radio that the top part said, U.S. citizens that do not have a birth certificate, give us a call. And you call, and that number takes you to information of what documentation you can present to show that you are a U.S. citizen and you are able to get this voting card. Why did I have a problem with it? Because the narrative then hits me and attacks what I'm trying to do about getting something reasonable for people, safety on the roads.
I want to underline that was not on one of the shows on this radio station, was it?
No, sir.
Was it on a high-rated radio station just down the road here?
It was a high-rated radio station.
And that makes it even worse because obviously they've been on the air for many, many years and they've got a listenership. And the thing about it is, if you are using information that is wrong, it says something about about what you're trying to get across. If you're not willing to say, hey, I got this information, we can talk about the battle of ideas all the time.
Yes.
if you're trying to skew the battle of ideas, that says something, doesn't it? And that's it, and again, it's something we go back to. I think we talked earlier about the trying to use that emotional weapon against people, right?
Absolutely. And then you know what? I mean, you yourself may get some bad information one day.
Yeah.
But if somebody comes to your door and tells you, Chad, look, what you said is wrong, and I got the proof right here, and it's right to your eyes, I think it's your obligation to correct.
Yep.
You know, and like I said, we have to be active on what we do and not just complain from the sidelines. I went to the DMV. I took a picture of that. I went to the radio station. I phoned up the radio station. I text the person, and to this date, I have not received a thank you or a go to hell, anything to say that the information was correct. So that tells me simply that it doesn't fit a narrative that wants to be put out there that is negative, and that is irresponsible. Sorry. You know, like we were talking, you know, each station can lean one way or the other. That's mm-hmm. fine. That's part of entertainment. Okay. But at the end, when you need to correct things that are not true, you should step forward and do it.
The name doesn't start with M and end with egg, does it? I got to watch myself here. I know they're listening, so. But no.
Well,
but you're right. Again, to be serious about it, these are serious issues that involve people's lives. And we've seen it over and over again, in the history of this country. When you put out that inflammatory false information, it leads to bad results, frankly.
Very bad results. It leads into hatred.
Yes.
It leads into attacks. Let me give you an example very, very close to this. In Texas right now, there was a raid on a left-wing group from their right-wing attorney general because they were standing in front of DMV trying to get people to sign up to vote. And this kind of bad information then makes people hate and not do the correct thing. So in this situation, like I said, this information was inaccurate. It was meant to inflame the senses and to push a narrative on something that is not happening. And in particular, I took a stand on it because it involved the community that I work for and that I'm trying to advance for our entire community. This is not just for a Democrat or Republican. It's for everybody that puts food on their table and knows who essential workers are and need some help.
Tony Gonzalez, again, always a pleasure. We'll get you back in real soon. Always fun to really delve into these issues and discussions, and I really enjoy it. And again, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me in your program so much, and thank you for being balanced, because that's what we need, more balance. And, you know, it's for the...
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And here in the state of Wisconsin, we are very fortunate to have a lot of terrific music festivals and music venues and to be able to enjoy music from north to south and up north, really far up north. There's a new event, a new festival, a new location. It's called the Stone Line Valley Music Festival. And to learn a little bit about it, I'm finding out myself here. We're very happy to have a pair of guests coming, Stephen and Greg. And first of all, I apologize if it's Stephen. What's your last name?
Vetter.
Okay, thank you very much for coming. I guess, first of all, could you give us maybe the thumbnail sketch on what Stone Line Valley, the festival, the location is, where you're located, and what's happening in terms of how this all developed?
Sure, yeah, I'll give you a little bit of a rundown. First of all, we're located just north of a little town called Phelps, Wisconsin. And if your viewers aren't, your listeners aren't, familiar with that, it's a little further north of Eagle River, Wisconsin. And so we're a little gem of a spot in the North Woods, and it's a 40-acre farm that we actually live on, and we've lived there since 2011. And it was actually my dad who realized that it would be a great spot for a concert venue.
Hmm.
And I can have him tell you a little bit about that right now.
Absolutely.
Hey, Chad. Thanks for having us on. We really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem at all, Greg.
Yeah, I actually, back when we first moved to the property, it just dawned on me because of the fact that there's a little bit of a valley in one corner of the 40 that lent itself to an amphitheater, a natural amphitheater, kind of like Alpine Valley down out in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that, and we kind of had a couple ideas in the back of our mind, and I took a boombox, believe it or not, and put it down there in that little valley, and started to play it. And it was the sound from a little tiny boombox was exceptional. And we went on from there, and it was it's been a long process, but it's taken a while to come to fruition. But here we are, ready to go on September 20th and 21st. We've got 7 bands playing on Friday the 20th. And 7 bands playing on the 21st. And we have a variety of different genres, bluegrass, blues, straight out blues music. We have a little bit of country. Actually, it's folk music as well. So we've got a good variety and a good mix, and we're looking for a lot of different ages to come along and experience it. We've got quite a few things to offer.
Fantastic. And again, a 2-day festival. Yeah, that's a big event. How did this start? Did you originally think it was going to be this big, or did it just sort of grow organically?
So I was actually the one to push for the multi-day event. And I'll tell you why, because it really came down to location and accessibility, really. We're out there. We're kind of far away from a lot of places. I mean, it takes us, 25 minutes to get to the nearest grocery store. Mm. So when I was keeping that in mind, I figured people coming from a longer distance away to get, to see the see and listen to the entertainment, we figured that they'd want to come for a longer period of time and camp. We have 10 acres of camping and RV camping as well. So we wanted to make it more of a destination and, a place where people can relax on a weekend and take in some really good tunes. We're also very family friendly, so it's great to bring your kids. We have we're going to have face painting. We're going to have other activities for the kids where they can paint rocks and gourds and pumpkins. And I'm also making a 10-foot high large mountain of hay for the kids to play on. So this is just a whole family of fun events, and we're just so excited. We have 4 food trucks coming are really popular in the area, and actually 1 coming from southern Wisconsin. We have everything there you need, and just a beautiful venue with great sound and great views.
And fantastic. Also, I understand that you're a benefit venue. Could you tell us a little bit more about your mission?
Sure, absolutely, Chad. We actually had for many years been very, very committed to helping children, trafficked kids, especially sexual trafficked kids. We've designated, actually at this point, we've got 5 different nonprofit organizations that we've designated to help out. One is the Tim Tebow Foundation. Vets for Child Rescue is another one. OUR, Operation Underground Railroad. We also have designated Shared Hope International, and also lastly, National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. So we have a real commitment to helping solve this evil that exists in our society. And, you know, a lot of times people don't realize it's right in their back door. Anyway, that's what we're all about with regard to being a benefit venue. And we plan to take 10% of a 2-day ticket sale and give that to one of these organizations for this year.
Fantastic. Again, Stoneline Valley Music Festival, Friday the 20th and Saturday the 21st. See some of the artists, including Kind Hearted Strangers, Old Pine Road, Cousin Curtis, Chicken Wire Empire. If folks want to find more information, just get even a little bit more on your location and on the lineup and anything else, is there a website they can go to?
Yes, absolutely. So it's real simple. It's stonelinevalley.com. And you can buy tickets on there. You know, we have 1-day passes, and 2-day passes as well. Camping available, RVs, over 28 feet long have a certain pass. And then we have general camping as well in a beautiful field. We have, again, for the RVs, we have, beautiful views. We'll have, fire rings that you know we'll have there for a donation, and people can bring their own. But yeah, we're also on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and yeah, head on over there, give us a like and a follow, and check out what we're doing. We've been building a beautiful pavilion that overlooks our amphitheater with a very large deck that's 30 feet by 72 feet. And it's just a really cool place to hang out and drink some craft beer and wine.
Fantastic. We'll put that link in our show notes on the podcast page as well for people to check it out. So, again, guys, thank you very much, and have a wonderful event coming up later this month.
Thanks.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And I tell you, what a busy day. We got people just rolling in and out here today, which is good because that means people don't have to hear me pontificate all the time for full segments. I actually have guests I can ask questions to. And one of our favorite guests comes in every first Wednesday of the month on the Good News Project, the executive director, Christine Daniels. And Christine, good to see you again. It feels
yeah,
like
you
were
too.
Just here.
I know. It does feel like
every
that.
Every month is going by so very, very quickly. And I said to you when you came in here, I said, well, how are things going? And you said, oh, I'm kind of tired. And it wasn't, but you didn't give me a list of things you were doing at work. You were giving me a list of things you were doing outside of work. And I know you're always very busy at work. So you're balancing, which I think is a good thing.
Yes, I am. I'm actually being very purposeful about trying to leave work early and go see my kids
exactly.
Do their sports and do their things.
And you give me an update, which is always a good thing.
Yeah.
And I like that as well. But no, it's fantastic to see you again. And I know that, again, when you do have your stuff at the Good News Project, you've been just incredibly busy and doing very big things. It's always a good thing when you're not traveling out of country, so you're able to come by here. But
yeah.
Again, in terms of... one of the things we often hear about are the collections and all that, but it's so much more than that. But you do have some collection events that are coming up that we want to talk about here today.
Yeah, for sure. So you're talking about electronics recycling.
Yeah.
And we are a DNR state certified collector of those electronics. And
I know a lot of people, they always have these old pieces of electronics and they think, well, what do I do with them? How do I, because I don't want to just throw them in the garbage. That's not good. That is wrong on every single level.
Every level.
And it is so simple because we here in Wausau, we do have you with the Good News Project every week to be able to do that. Real
yes.
simple.
Yeah. And there is a Clean It Up Wausau event coming up. It's for City of Wausau residents only. But don't let that discourage you if you're outside of the City of Wausau.
Like
but
me.
For those who are, it's Friday, September 20th and Saturday, September 21st. And Good News Project does have a presence there. We accept electronics.
Mm-hmm.
We still charge our 45 cents per pound. But if you're trying to get rid of other things too, like maybe, you know, an old dresser or mattress or insulation or something
yeah.
like that, an old lawnmower, it's kind of like a one-stop shop you know, one-stop drop, actually, for City of Wausau residents. And if you can't make it there, we're open every Friday from 9 to 4.
It's hard to believe. Again, this is a once-a-year cleanup Wausau, right?
It's twice a year.
Oh, twice. Okay, I was thinking it didn't feel. I didn't feel like it was a whole year since we talked about that. I'm thinking it can't have been a year.
Yeah, it's fall. It's September and it's May.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so you can do your spring cleaning too.
Because we were talking about that, I thought that wasn't a year ago. I'm really getting old. So it's like, no, that's fantastic. Again, that's coming up in a couple of weeks on September 20th, Friday and Saturday, September 21st, between 9 and 5 p.m. And also coming up next month. And I think it's wonderful to be reminded of these kind of events and these kind of special days. It's International E-Waste Day.
Yes.
And for folks that may not know, e-waste, what does
e-waste,
that mean?
Electronic waste. Yeah. Yeah, so that's a worldwide recognition of the need to recycle electronics because it is the fastest growing waste stream in the world, are electronics, right? I mean, that's not difficult to imagine.
No, it's not. It's not the old-fashioned days where, you know, everything was non-electronic.
Right.
And you know, the pack rats were keeping a bunch of, you know, written materials and all that stuff. Everything's now electronic, no matter what it is
it
in your
is.
Life. And obviously, you're upgrading all the time, and then you have this old stuff that you need to for lack of a better term, get rid of.
Yes.
And that's what you're there for every Friday. But this is a real focus.
It's a special day. It's a Monday. So for people who can't make it on a Friday, we're trying to give options out there. October 14th. So Monday, October 14th. And
we'll talk more about that, I'm sure, next month.
You bet. One of our major sponsors is TDS Telecom. We also have WPS Foundation that are sponsoring. And we're always open for business sponsors because guess what? I'll talk about you on the radio.
There you go. Exactly. And you can reach the many, many, many listeners that I have each and every day. And then coming up in November, you got America Recycles Day as well. And that's always very important. I mean, that's something I've heard about so often. And again, it's just a wonderful reminder about, you know, doing those. It can be little things or big things in order to, you know, sustain the environment.
Yep. And we're trying to do our part. Of course, recycling, you know, there are so many different types of recycling. You know, you're putting your items out on the curb every week or every other week, plastics and aluminum, things like that. So it's a way to call attention to the process of recycling. You know, a lot of people have kind of, you know, they've heard lousy things about things getting recycled and saying, oh, well, that doesn't actually get dealt with properly. I'm not going to do it. But we purposefully go to facilities to watch the process, to better understand so that we can educate people on how to do it. You know, like, yes, you do need to rinse out your peanut butter jar and, you know, things like that. We have a really cool video at our electronics recycling site at 1106 Fifth Street, and it's about the end process of recycling electronics. So you can see Dynamic Life Cycle Innovations. They are our end recycler, and you know, they show the whole process of taking things apart, throwing it into a shredder, and this huge machine that they have over in Onalaska, Wisconsin, sorts it. And it's really cool to see the end product. You know, there's a giant box of just copper. There's a giant box of motherboards, you know, like just kind of ground up motherboards. Right. You'll see aluminum, you'll see gold, you'll see glass, you'll see leaded glass, all of these different things that are then sent to other corporations for reuse, so they get better refined at other places. But the recycling itself at that facility, you know, they recycle 99.6% of all the stuff that comes through there, which is pretty amazing.
That is amazing, that number. And also, so we often talk about every week, you know, for individuals to come by with their electronic equipment. You also work with businesses as well, don't you?
Yes, we do.
But you have to—they have to do a little differently, don't they? Make a little extra communication to help you out.
So we have a bunch of different ways that businesses can make use of recycling. One of the most popular in the last 3 years has been offering it as an employee benefit. So, for example, Green Hut Group out in Rothschild, they host us. We bring our whole operation there, and they have their employees sign up to volunteer, which is really fun. fun because it's the same people signing up. They love to do it because they're seeing their coworkers from different departments coming through, dropping off their electronics. And then GreenHack actually ships it out directly to Onalaska from their loading dock, which, I mean, that's like, you know, that's like platinum level amazing partnership, right?
I got to say something real fast because whenever I hear something about GreenHack, my dad worked there for many, many years until he got sick and died. But they were wonderful for the entirety of his work life. He loved working there. And even when he got sick, he still worked because he loved going to work.
Aww, that's
and
wonderful.
He worked right to the end. And it was like, and they've always been such a, I think, a great partner within our community. And I just always enjoy when somebody like yourself comes in and says that they're doing the right thing in this realm as well.
They are. They really want to partner with nonprofits in the community. You know, one of the other things that they, this was all their idea. You know, we have our medical lending program and they have their own clinic on their campus. And so instead of, you know, purchasing a wheelchair, for example, through their own employer-offered insurance, they're like, oh, this is a win-win situation. We can get this wheelchair from Good News Project. We can still pay them for it, but of course at a less price. So it benefits everyone involved. And, you know, they're trying to find creative ways to help nonprofits.
Also, just you say, you know, how GreenHack does it on this really big level.
Yeah.
There's others that also are doing the right things. And there's different levels. You can be a bit of a smaller operation, still be doing these right things, correct?
Yeah. So there's another example, like Midwest Beverage. They will actually take some of our supplies. They'll take maybe 10 of our large boxes and tell their employees that they're collecting for a week. And so their employees can just go drop items off at their facility. And then at the end of the week, they bring the electronics to our warehouse. And then, you know, we charge the we weigh it up and we charge the company. But the cool thing about the employee benefit is it's like a one-stop thing. You know, you're not offering, you know, a percentage of anything that increases over the years to employees, but it's still, you know, a way to show that you're a sustainable business, that you care about the environment and that you care about your employees doing the right thing. So these have been really neat partnerships. We, of course, have, you know, the lower level for smallest businesses. They might just do their own collection and bring like a little trailer of stuff. And then
but it all
we
counts,
build them.
Right?
I it
mean,
all
that's
counts.
Thing. You know, in doing the right thing, there's never, you know, not anything that's not worth doing. If you're doing the right thing, it's always well worthwhile. And again, it's nice to be able to acknowledge those companies that do the right thing as well.
Yeah, you bet.
Again, we're talking to Christine Daniels, the executive director of the Good News Project. You never come in dressing up like an executive director, you know? It's like you're
so funny.
You know?
Yeah, I got my sweats on today.
You should be coming in with that, you know, the $3,000 suit, you know, executive director.
A nonprofit. So I have to say that's one of, like, the total benefits of working at Good News Project because my whole life there, I've worked out of a warehouse.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, well, I have to go out into the warehouse. And you wouldn't want to wear fancy clothes out there, right? So, I mean, you have to be able to wear warehouse clothes. So, you know, every once in a while, I will, you know, try to dress up with some earrings or something like that. But I really don't care, you know?
You mentioned already, you know, one of the road trips that you like to take. And that's also great, I think, to have everybody sort of get the gist of every level of what you do. And I know that you have another road trip that you want to, you know, talk about as well, right?
Yeah. So we are next Tuesday, we are taking some volunteers and some board members over to Dynamic Lifecycle Innovations and get a tour there. It's really nice. Dynamic takes us out to lunch. but they, you know, they show everyone the process from the time it comes in the door from our facility, you know, via the trucks, till, you know, through the whole processing part. And so our volunteers and our board members can feel much more confident about talking about the process to people. It's always been very important to us to you know, try to go there once a year and say, and bring different people along. So, you know, the more people who can talk about it and say, yeah, this stuff really does get recycled and this is what I saw. I think it's important for everybody, including our kids.
Yes,
you know, because they're like, not all of them.
And I also see you're going to the landfill, the Marathon County Solid Waste Facility. I've been thinking I have to go out there because I got this old mattress, I got this old couch, and I just keep pushing it off. And I think because I'm always busy doing something else, I was like, I should go on your road trip with you guys.
You should. Okay, so we just set the date. It's I think. It just came through my email this morning, so don't quote me. I think it's October 14th. And no, it's not October 14th. All right, I don't know. It's in October. I'll let you know. But they have their own truck out there, like a mini like van kind of thing that can hold 14 people. And they actually take people out into the landfill.
Oh, really?
And they show you the whole process. You know, when we went, it was a little bit of a different meeting because we really wanted to understand the just the interconnectivity of electronics and landfill. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest things, the most shocking to me, is the lithium batteries that catch on fire. Mm. And they talk about major fires out there in their landfill and all that has to be done to put those fires out. Mm. It's dangerous. It's dangerous for, you know, all of the fumes that they create, for the workers who are trying to put them out. It's just not good. And so I feel like education about that is the most important. You know, you do not put a lithium battery in your garbage. Just don't do it.
Christine Daniels, Good News Project, again, every Friday. Make sure you take advantage. But again, the fall cleanup here in the city of Wausau, again, coming up in a couple of weeks, correct?
Just a couple of weeks, yeah, okay. The 20th and 21st.
Well, if you want to have someone stop by, yourself stop by even that week, feel free to contact me. Always love to have you on board.
All right.
And again, check them out on social media and his website as well.
Yes. Yep. We talk about all of it, all of our events throughout the year. Even we just established all of our dates for 2025.
Fantastic.
Too. So that'll go up soon.
Fantastic. So again, we'll see you next month, first Wednesday.
All right. Sounds great.
Christine Daniels joining us here on 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Don't forget, tonight, it is Wednesday. That means another edition of the Big High School Sports Show tonight from 6 until 8 p.m. We will be joined by former Wausau West head football coach Jason Foster to talk about all the action from last weekend and look ahead to this weekend as well, plus special guests at 6:25. We'll be joined by Jason Tubbs, the head football coach of Stratford, as they come off their big win over Edgar last week, and they open up conference play this week. So Stratford coach Jason Tubbs at 6:25. And then at 7:06, it's Newman Catholic High School senior offensive and defensive lineman Evan Graney after the Cardinals had a season-opening win 34-12 over Phillips last week. So, again, Jason Tubbs at 6:25, Evan Graney at 7:06. The Big High School Sports Show tonight from 6 till 8 p.m. right here on 98.9 WXCO. Today is September the 4th of 2024. It is day number 248 of this year. There are 118 days remaining in the year, and a number of famous events have occurred on this date in history. 1888, George Eastman registered the trademark Kodak and received a patent for his camera, which uses roll film. On this date in 1904, the St. Regis Hotel in New York City became the first to have individual air conditioning and heating in every room. On this date in 1998, Google was founded by Larry Page and Sergey Brin, two students at Stanford University. On this date, 2006, crocodile hunter Steve Irwin died after a stingray's barb pierced his chest. On this date, 10 years ago today, 2014, Joan Rivers died at the age of 81. She passed after complications from surgery on her vocal cords. On this date in 2016, Mother Teresa was canonized by Pope Francis in a ceremony at the Vatican. 2018, Amazon became America's second trillion-dollar company. The first was Apple. On this date in 2020, Pope Benedict XVI became the longest-living pope, 93 years, 4 months, 16 days, surpassing Pope Leo XIII, who died in 1903. And on this date in 2023, Smash Mouth singer Steve Harwell died. He was 56 years old. Some famous people are celebrating birthdays today. Actor Judith Ivey, a two-time Tony Award winner, is 73 years old today. Actor Candy Alexander of News Radio is 67. Actor Damon Wayans from In Living Color, My Wife and Kids, and Lethal Weapon is 64. Actor Noah Taylor plays Locke in Game of Thrones, 55 years old today. Actor Ione Skye, remember her best from Say Anything back in the late 80s. Ione Skye is 54. Music producer Mark Ronson is 49 years old today. Beyonce turning 43 years old today. Comedian Whitney Cummings is 42. And former Saturday Night Live cast member Kyle Mooney is 40 years old today. And if you're out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO. Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Eat an Extra Dessert Day. It is National Leadership Day. It is Macadamia Nut Day. It is Newspaper Carrier Day. It is Spice Blend Day. And it is Wildlife Day. So those are the special events being acknowledged today on the 4th day of September of 2024.
I'm not going to lie. I have an extra dessert almost every day, too.
Well, every day that day then, right?
Yep.
All right. It's time for our number for the day and our number for the day quiz.
Yes.
All right.
Airplanes.
And in this case, one particular airplane.
Okay.
The Boeing 737.
Ah.
And the number for the day is the number of miles flown in one day by a typical Boeing 737.
Typical miles in
so
one day.
So they're working in the airline industry and working all the time, going back and forth. Miles flown in one day by a typical Boeing 737.
Okay.
Is the correct answer 2,300 miles? Is the correct answer 4,300 miles? Is the correct answer 6,300 miles? Big numbers all around.
2,300, 4,300, or 6,300?
Yep. Miles flown in one day by one a day. Typical Boeing 737. Typical.
One day. Okay. Well, like you said, the pressure is on. And so I got to make sure I focus in on this one. I'm going to say... In a typical day, I'm going to say 4,300 miles. I'm going with B. It's my final answer. I'm going with B.
You went with B yesterday and was wrong.
Well, I'm trusting my mom's advice.
Well, I mean, so if you're wrong yesterday, maybe you'll be right today, right? So
you never know.
All right. Well, the number for the day, the miles flown in one day by a typical Boeing 737 is... 4,300 miles.
Yes.
Big one. Oh, you needed that one.
I really needed
so
that
So now
one.
You're right where you need to be. 1 for 3, which is, you know, based on the math, where you should be. 33%. So that puts everything on the line the next 2 days. So we'll do that. So, again, good job. You can enjoy now the rest of your day.
Yes.
And don't forget, folks, Friday morning, it'll be our second anniversary show.
Big celebration.
And we have a special guest lined up, and I can't tell you who it is.
I have no idea who it is either.
Well, it's going
to
be
big. We'll find out. You have to tune in on Friday.
Yep. Big guest coming up on Friday. So,
and all we know is that they're on a different time zone.
Yep. They're not going to be. It'll be a phone interview, so it's still going to be great. And I'm doing the interview tomorrow. I've been told I cannot say who it is until we actually do the interview. I'm recording it at 11:05 tomorrow morning.
So I'm not saying anything tomorrow either.
Well, we won't be able to say it on the air, but I will be posting afterwards and we'll start promoting it. But I'm looking forward to that, but we're looking forward to tomorrow. We have Pat Kreitlow joining us at 8:20 tomorrow morning. Actually, at 8:06 tomorrow morning. Brittany Merlot at 8:20, and I forget. I know we have somebody else coming on, but I don't have my calendar in front of me right now.
It'll be another surprise.
It'll be a surprise to me right now. But Ian, have a great rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Have a great day.
We'll be back tomorrow, 8 till 10 a.m. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.